we've got to let that light permeate our soul and our mind, and we've got to let that light come out of our mouth. And when we do, the devil can't use us. Anybody else got a testimony?
I got a small testimony of just something that happened today. Most of y'all are familiar that along the way I've told you times before about the mole crickets and the ants and whatnot in my yard. And when I first moved into my home, I walked off the perimeter of the house and asked the Lord to bless my home and my family and put the hedge of Christ about my property lines. And the ants in the yard haven't been using any pesticide for years, or ever since I moved into the house. And what I normally would do is when a colony of ants up, I would rebuke them in the name of Jesus. And one of the most profound things that happened, and when that happens, the ants die and they go. I mean, because I'd have them. I mean, last time I went out and cut the grass all around my pool area, there was ant piles all along the edges of the concrete perimeter, and walked them off and would pray over each one and rebuke each one, and like I was over there again today, and there was absolutely no ants at all. And what I found is a lot of times is that, like, when an ant pile pops up, I'd speak to that particular ant pile specifically. I'd be walking to the car and there'd be a new one that would come up. Well, today I was edging the yard where I'm running right along the perimeter of the road, and there was this big ant pile that, like, it was either yesterday or the day before that on the way to my car, I rebuked it. And so I'm walking along and there's this big ant pile, and I walked right through that ant pile. And I looked down on that ant pile and I kicked it with my foot, and there was no ants in that pile whatsoever from yesterday or the day before. And also, about 3 weeks ago, because the Lord was blessing us with this, and He was just feeding me with faith and building me up by showing me His power. My son was up on the boat, and we were washing the boat down, and there was this pile of ants that was right by the step down of the fender where we step off, and I just knew that every time anybody stepped down off of that thing, they were going to step right into that big pile of ants. And so I said to my son, I said, Adam, I says, look at this pile of ants right here. I says, I'm going to rebuke this pile of ants in the name of Jesus. And so I rebuked that pile of ants. And the next day, I was out there messing around in the yard or whatever, and he had a couple of his buddies over there also, and they were up in the boat for some reason. And I knelt down on one knee, and I took my hands and I took them right, stuck them right into the ant pile, and lifted this pile of ants. The whole head came off of this entire colony of ants, and there wasn't a single ant in that colony whatsoever. There were no ants at all. They were dead.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Be it unto you according to your faith, right? As you have believed, so shall it be unto you, the Lord says.
The mighty God that
you do serve. I guarantee you. And that's what it is. You know, it's Christ in us, isn't it? It's Christ in us. But how does Christ get in you? Well, Christ is the Word, right? When you agree with the Word, and the Word is down in your feet, and the Word is coming out of your mouth, then that's Christ.
See?
All we've got to do is begin to be believers. All these awesome promises that God put in His Word, He put them there so that we would agree with them, so that two could walk together. Amos, what is it, 3:3? Somebody help me. Amos 3:3. How can two walk together except if they agree? It's not Bob. It's not me. It's not you. It's Jesus in us. And what we've got to do is get that Word down in our heart. The Word is what bears fruit, right? The Word of God bears fruit. The Word of God in the parable of the sower. The sower went forth to sow. He sowed the seed. The seed was the Word. The seed there is the word sperma. And so you know that the fruit was the fruit of Jesus Christ, since the word is for seed there is sperma. And He sowed this in four different groups of people, and only one of them brought forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And it's because the Word is Jesus Christ. He is the Word. If that Word lives in you, the Word of God, not the Word of religion, but the Word of God, if that Word of God lives in you, to the extent that that Word lives in you, to that extent, Jesus lives in you. And not only in your thinking, but in your mouth and in your actions. You see, Jesus was more than just thought. He spoke words. and he had actions that agreed with the power of the Word. If you don't agree with the Word, you're not going to have any fruit. I mean, you can think in your mind, yep, the Word of God is true, but until you speak it by faith and walk in it by faith, nothing's going to happen, because faith without works is dead, the Bible says.
One of the things that I think about a lot when the Lord is doing something that He's showing me how powerful He is, I think about what He's really wanting of us, and I get this feeling and this picture in my mind that here the Lord is up there all the time, that because of what He's done, what Christ has done at the cross, He wants to give us everything. And He's standing there just waiting for us to come into agreement with His Word. In other words, to believe and to have faith. And because He wants to give every one of His children every one of the promises, every one of the blessings. But there is a purpose for the Word. It's the owner's manual on how we are to receive salvation, how we are to be out from underneath the curse. So I really become encouraged when I find that the Lord is doing exactly what He said that He would do, and just waiting on me to agree with Him. So it encourages me to go farther. And when we see these things, like Kurt was talking about on television, that these commercials with all these new medicines that are always coming out, and they're giving the symptoms of the things that it's going to cure. Well, of course, these are all curing man from the curse at the arm of the flesh. Well, I think what people do is they identify, and because they are under the curse, we have so many friends and so many loved ones that we see and there's so much cancer and so many infirmities and so many afflictions that are out there. And we walk through the mall and we see the distance and the look in people's eyes. And what they really need is the good news of the faith in Jesus Christ, to be able to believe the promises so they can receive the blessings and be out from underneath the curse. Instead, what we have is we have advertisements that are received, that these people actually, the opposite of faith in Christ is fear. That's faith in the devil, to have a fear that you're going to take on this curse. Well, fear is faith in the devil, and you can take on anything that the devil has to give you if you'll agree with it. So our job is to give the good report, what Jesus has done for us, and claim every bit of salvation that is out there for us, and stand firm on the Word of God so that Satan has no rights against the Son of God to plunder him, but we want to be plundering Satan's kingdom instead.
Amen. Well, while Bob was speaking, Pauline had a word from the Lord. He gave her Haggai 1 and 11. Turn there and let's read that, okay? Haggai 1 and 11. That's page 802. It's right before Zechariah.
Okay.
For those of you who don't have the same book, let me just read the verse and then we can go back just a little bit. It says, "And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, upon the grain, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands." You know, to get some text, if you go back to, say, verse 7, it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build the house." The mountain, of course, is the kingdom of God. It's likened unto the kingdom of God all through the Scripture. Mount Zion, and of course the temple of God was on top of Mount Zion. "And bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord." You know, every one of us individually is building this house. Zion and Mount Zion and the temple of God is no longer a physical building in a geographical spot. Every one of us is building the kingdom of God in our lives. We're building a mountain on which to live in the presence of God. And the temple of God is what we are. But we've got to dwell on top of the mountain to be the temple of God, don't we? Very clearly, as the type is in the Old Testament. So he tells us to build this mountain. Now, this was literally true to the Jews, but it's spiritually true to us, okay? He said, "You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that lieth waste, while you run every man to his own house." Pauline had a dream like this recently. I'll let her share it with you in a minute. But are we building our own house, or are we building God's house. We're not here to build our house. We're here to build God's house. And we're not here to build anybody's religion either. We're not building anybody's kingdom, but God's kingdom, if we're disciples of Jesus Christ. And yet there are a lot of little kingdoms being built out there that aren't His. And they don't even resemble the kingdom that the Lord set up back just before Pentecost, right? They don't resemble that. There's a great falling away that we're in the midst of. Well, people are building their own houses, either their own physical houses or their own spiritual houses, but they're building their own houses. But the Lord wants us to build His house, His kingdom. Therefore, verse 10, for your sakes the heavens withhold the dew, and the earth withholdeth its fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the grain, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon all, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. There's a curse, folks. There's a curse that's growing in this land. It should be because of Christianity and because of the salt that we're supposed to be made of. It should be diminishing, but it's not. We're losing ground in this land. It's because we're building our own houses and not the Lord's house. Pauline had a dream about a house. Let me let her share that with you.
In the dream, Bob told me he didn't want me around anymore. And I couldn't believe it. It was like I was confused. It was really strange. People were asking me what was going on because I was crying and really upset. And in the dream, I was just sobbing. And they were asking me, was Bob moving out or was I moving out? And I said, I don't know. And so it was really confusing. I just couldn't understand. I was devastated in the dream. I remember feeling that. And then I was next scene was I was laying in bed with my daughter, who at that time was about 15, 16, young, you know, fairly young. And Bob's son, who, Bob, you know, this is a son we don't have. Bob's son came in, who was about the same age as Lorraine. Never seen this person before, but in the dream it was his son. Gave me a little present, and he was really upset that I was upset. And I asked him, see, I wrote it down because I didn't want to forget it. It was so vivid when I woke up. I asked him, did he know what his dad wanted to tell, wanted? You know, I just couldn't figure out what did Bob want. And he told me, yes, his dad wanted the house to himself. He didn't want me in it anymore. And I just broke down and I said, well, I'll move out. You know, I said to my daughter, I'll move out. I'll move. And she was really annoyed and says, no, Mom. You know, she said, no, you have a right to be in this house too. Well, then it changes again, and Bob was on our, just getting off the tractor, you know, lawnmower thing, and for some reason we had a pump, you know, with the, like a garage with the gas. And he was putting gas in. He was kind of bending over. But it wasn't really his face. It was an older person with more lines and a rugged face. But it was Bob, you know. And I said to him, I went up to him and asked him, why didn't he want me round anymore, you know. And he just said, because you have too much fear and have changed. And I think he said, this next one, I'm not as strong as I was. And then I cried and woke up. That was the dream. But to me it was significant because we went to New Orleans the other week and my back, I don't know what it did, but anyway. And because I was in New Orleans and with all my family, I gave in to fear and I took pills, which I never take pills. And I ended up going to the chiropractor. Well, once you start doing that, the fear comes in. Well, shoes. I know God heals. I know it. But I'm not. This is how I was thinking. My feeling was, I'm not strong enough to do it. I can't do it. You know, I can't do it. And so now I start thinking, well, you know, if I break down, I may as well go to the doctor for this reason, and I may as well go and get this sorted out. And this dream kind of brought me up short. You know, it made me. It was a warning I felt, I really did, when I woke up the next morning. And then the day after I got, that day I kept thinking about it and thinking about it. And I had a verse, and it was Psalm 5-7, but I didn't have the Bible, I didn't know what it was. And so, by the time I forgot about it till this morning, and I got the same verse again, and it says, and it really is great, it says, but as for me, the abundance of thy loving kindness will I come into thy house, in thy fear will I worship towards thy holy temple. And it kind of made me, it was like one side was, you know, the dream was where I needed to get things together, but God was helping me and giving me a verse to make, to help me, I felt, you know. And that was true.
You know, we're not to stay in the same house, are we? We grow from glory to glory, don't we? We change with the Lord. You know, Bob's son that does not exist except in that dream means Bob's fruit. You know, his spiritual man. That's what it means. And he was bringing the report that Pauline didn't belong in that house anymore. That was a warning from the Lord, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, I started out in the Catholic Church. I'm talking about a corporate house here. I'm not talking about an individual. But I started out in the Catholic Church. I knew nothing about God. I wasn't born again. But I was justified because they told me I was, you know. I felt justified because they told me I was, you know. But when I got born again, I started reading the Word of God and started looking for places of fellowship. I went to a Baptist church, and I stayed there for a little while. And I'm going to tell you, this will probably offend a lot of people, but I stayed there until I outgrew it because I already got what they had to say. There was no use in me staying there 40 years and hearing that same thing over and over and over and over. And I saw that they were not going on with the Lord. They had rejected most of the full gospel, most of the power of God in the New Testament, as though it had passed away sometime back, which is a lie, because I've received many miracles. Everybody in this room has received miracles from God. And so the power of God hadn't passed away, but religion would have you to believe it had. So I went from that. I went to a church that believed in the gifts of the Spirit, believed in the power of God. And I stayed there for a year or so, and I finally realized they weren't going on. You know, it's kind of like moving from house to house, isn't it? I bet a lot of people in this room have started out somewhere and really stayed there until they felt uneasy, felt like they weren't getting fed, got to looking, got to searching, got to hungering, and God would lead them to something a little bit further. And then pretty soon they'd get into the same situation, and God would lead them a little bit further and a little bit further. You see, each step being more revelation that you need, but it's like going from house to house. We can't start out, we can't end up where we started out. We got to continue to grow in the Lord. That's what bearing fruit is, right? And to say that Pauline was back in the house where her daughter was 15 years old is to say that she is not where she used to be with the Lord, which was what was happening to her. You see, she is not where she was with the Lord. And that's what the Lord was telling her through this dream, you know, that you need to get out of that house and go on, you know. You've been there, now get up and go on, you know. Well, with every one of us, it has to be that way. There's a lot of people that stay in a religion all of their lives, or stay in a physical, I'm not just talking about religions here. Pauline's dream is not talking about a religion, it's talking about a place with God. You know, the Lord don't want us to stay in any place with God. We've got to continue to bear fruit, continue to grow by putting more and more of the Word of God in our heart and acting on more and more of the Word of God.
I really felt I'd gone, the dream was letting me know, I'd gone backwards, you know.
Yeah.
I was not, like you said, where I should be. I'd gone.
You know, there may be somebody out there that doesn't believe in dreams, but the Bible tells us that in Acts chapter 2, that on God's servants and handmaidens there would be poured out dreams and visions. And Joel told us that there would be dreams and visions. And Job told us that that God speaks once, yea, twice, though man regardeth it not, in a dream or in a vision of the night, in order to withhold man from his purpose and keep him back from the pit. So God warns us in dreams and visions, and He wants to deliver us. He wants to keep us back from the pit, keeps us from falling off into some error or falling off into something where we cannot bear fruit. Look in Ezekiel 47. Bob here's had a dream. It's a very good dream, and it's a warning to us.
and probably to a lot of other people if they could hear. This is a story of the river of life flowing out of the throne of God. And as it flows out of the temple of God, out from under the temple of God, and verse 1, verse 2, and as it flows away, God tells Ezekiel, the prophet, to go get in that river. And not only get in that river, but walk out into it. First 1,000 cubits, ankle deep water, another 1,000 knee deep water, another 1,000 loin deep water, and another 1,000 into waters that can be swum in only. You know, and then it couldn't be passed over. By walking, it could not be passed over. You know, by walking on 2 feet, Ezekiel could not walk across this river. And this was the river of the water of life. Everywhere, it's the exact same river that Revelation chapter 22 talks about that comes out of the throne of God and brings the healing to the nations. This river of the water of life couldn't be passed over by walking on the bottom. In other words, you know, the Bible says that God doesn't take any pleasure in the legs of a man or in the strength of the horse. That's talking about, you know, a horse we use, man uses horse in order to harness the strength of the flesh to do their works for them. You understand? The Bible says, cursed is he that trusts in the arm of the flesh. And yet that's exactly what religion does. They harness the strength of the flesh to get their work done. But the river of the water of life is not something that if you get out into the deep, you can walk on your own 2 feet, because you are totally immersed in the Word of God. It is the strength of God. It is the power of God. It is God in you that's going to do the work. Many a religion has been built totally out of the strength of man, the ability of man, and they're all going to crumble. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and everything that's been built with human hands will be crumbled. I mean, the temple of God couldn't be, you couldn't hear the tools, the sound of tools when they built that temple, because God didn't want it to be a work of man. He didn't want it to symbolize a work of man. You know, and he talked about the temple in these days, the temple that wasn't made with hands. That's man's works, as he's talking about. He didn't want a temple that's made with man's works. Just like Ezekiel couldn't touch the bottom when he got out into the deep waters, you know. You know what? There are shallow waters and there are deep waters, even in this story. Let's read from 6 on down, a little story here. And then I'd like Bob to share his vision. Pauline had another one. I had one. Verse 6 says, and he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? So what was the purpose? I mean, he brought him out into the... What was the purpose, you know? And he's asking him this question. Then he brought me and caused me to return to the bank of the river. And now when I had returned, behold, upon the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other side. That's exactly what Revelation chapter 22 says. You know, and he called it the tree of life, okay, that bore 12 manner of fruits. And he's going to get to that here too. Okay. Then said he unto me, these waters issue forth towards the eastern region, and they shall go down into the Arabah. You know, the Arabah is a pretty dried up, dead place, isn't it? That's exactly what it's talking about, death here. And they shall go towards the sea. Into the sea shall the waters go, which were made to issue forth. He's talking about the Dead Sea. You know, the Dead Sea is the lowest place on earth. God's life can go to the lowest place on earth. And nothing can live in that sea. It represents death. It's been called the Dead Sea because nothing can live there. Okay? Yet the river of the water of life is going there. Okay? And that's what's doing in our life, too. It's in our life. It's in the people around us. You see? Verse 9. It shall come to pass that every living creature which swarmeth in every place whither the rivers come shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish. For these waters are come thither, and the waters of the sea shall be healed. And everything shall live whithersoever the river cometh. This river, of course, you know, the Bible says, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive. I think that's John 7 and 38. And Jesus also said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And that's John 6 and 63, right? So, out of us is supposed to come the Word of God. It has the power to bring life everywhere it goes. That's not necessarily to quote the Word of God, but you've got to be in agreement with the Word of God when you speak. And it's nice to know that it's good for the people around you to know that that's what you're speaking, is the Word of God. Well, everywhere this river went, it brought life. Verse 10, it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand by it from En-Gedi even unto Eneglium. You know what the En-Gedi and Eneglium, it means the fountain of two calves. Interesting. You remember the two calves that they called Jehovah, the northern ten tribes worshipped? But it really wasn't Jehovah, it was a lie. It was the image of the beast. And yet, they called him Jehovah. Interesting. It was really Baal. Baal was a false virgin birth. He was Nimrod, if you go far enough back. But they considered that this was Jehovah. Today, the one that they call Jesus in a lot of churches isn't Jesus at all. All you got to do is read your Bible and you'll find that out. He has no resemblance to the Jesus of the Bible whatsoever. Our Jesus is a Savior. He's a deliverer. He's a healer. And everywhere His Word goes, it sets the captives free. He said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you go into a church and you sit there for 20 years and you hear that and it's not setting you free, it's not the Word of God. And if it's not bringing forth miracles in your life, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 5, get out of it. Because it's just got a form of godliness and it denies the power thereof. He said, get out of it. That's God's command, not mine. So that's not a river of living water. No, it's not living. It's not living. It's not bringing life. It's not changing things. It's not moving. You know why it's not moving? Because it's in the same place it was way back when. They haven't changed anything. They haven't gotten any more revelation. They're still stuck in the same old rut. And if you stay there, you'll be twice dead and plucked up by the roots. The Lord is warning us. Bob, why don't you share the
dream that you had?
Because Bob had a dream that says exactly that.
What I usually do when I have a dream is I keep a notepad next to my bed and I write it down as soon as I wake up so that it'll be fresh in my mind. In the dream, I was looking for a close friend that was in trouble. And I called out to her. It was a female with a sense of life-threatening urgency. I walked into an enclosed building with a pool inside. And as I approached the pool, I saw nothing but bodies floating face down in the pool. All that were in the pool were dead. No one in the entire building was alive. I then walked the length of the pool to the end of the building and opened a door and walked into another building. I proceeded to the door connecting to the second building, and inside again was a pool with corpses on the shallow end and living people in the deep end. There was a class of instruction that was being given on how to commit suicide by what appeared to be religious leaders. I saw my friend. She was taking instruction from the pastors and was preparing to end her life as those that were in the shallow end had already done. I was angered and walked straight to my friend during the class and took her hand in her face into my hand. I gazed directly into her eyes and exclaimed, "Don't you want to follow Jesus?" I then said, "You are confused. This is not the way of Jesus." Then I woke up.
Awesome. Did you notice each one of those pools, you know, the instructor, by the way, Bob told me before that the preacher here who was giving the instructions, he wasn't in the water himself. He was standing on the bank. But the people that were dying were going into the shallow end of the pool and dying there, committing suicide, dying there, you see. Bob went into the first building, which was an individual pool, with an individual pool inside it, and all the people were dead there. You know, we're coming to a time when God has had a lot of grace concerning error, but we're coming to a time when God's going to have to make a choice between those who are hot and those who are cold and those who are sitting on the fence. For a long time, a lot of Christians have been sitting on the fence. They haven't been what the Bible calls believers. They haven't been in the deep water at all. We're coming to a great tribulation where the only thing that's really going to save people is to be in the deep water. You know, in the first building, everybody was dead. You know what? There are groups, there are denominations in which if you don't get out of them, they're all going to go the wrong way, and they're all going to be dead. You know, Jesus told us what a believer is. A believer is somebody that believes in the full gospel. I'm not talking about a religion here, because there are people that call themselves full gospel. In some cases, they might be telling the truth, and in some cases, they may not. Okay, the full gospel is the full gospel, right? And I'm still looking for the full gospel myself. I'm still studying the Word, seeking everything I can find out about God. But you know, Jesus said that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. That identifies a believer. Jesus said, these signs will accompany them that believe. You're talking about people laying hands on the sick. You're talking about people casting out devils. You're talking about people taking up serpents. I'm not talking about real serpents. I'm talking about exactly what Jesus identified as serpents, which were demons, okay? You're talking about people with power. Jesus said believers had power because they agreed with the Word. Okay? Bob went through the first building and everybody's dead. The second building, the instructions were causing people to go into the shallow end and die there. You know what the shallow end is? Read the next verse here in Ezekiel 47. Everywhere this river of life went, it brought life to all the, and it brought all these great fish, like the fish of the great sea. Verse 11, but the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given up to salt. Does salt remind you of anything? How about Lot's wife?
Well, they didn't see nothing
in it. That's right. Salt. And Lot's wife looked back. You know, Jesus said anybody that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of me. What is looking back? It's going back to your old ways, right? That's what Pat says, that's right. Going back to your old ways, your old thinking, your old way of life, you know? Like they did when they came out of Egypt and went into the wilderness. Whenever they got in a trial, they immediately wanted to run back to Egypt, which means, I'm going to do it the world's way. I'm going to go back to the world's way of dealing with this situation, dealing with this problem. I'm going to let the world be my supply. I'm going to let the world be my strength. I'm going to let the world be my healer. I'm going to let the world be my Savior. God's a jealous God. And he got angry with them because they wanted to go back to their old ways. Listen, the deep waters, think about it now. When the deep waters came out of the house and went on, those were the same waters that started that ended up in the Dead Sea. You know, the waters, you know, the Bible talks about the deep waters. I believe it's Proverbs 18. The deep waters are as the words of a man's mouth, a wellspring of wisdom. You got that? Deep waters are as the words of a man's mouth. What man do you think that is? The Word of God, Jesus Christ. He started those words flowing. The same words that started back there are supposed to be the same words on this end. He tells us in Jude to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. In other words, the word back then is supposed to be the same word here. The same word back then is supposed to be the same word now. Where can that word be different? Well, you look in the shallow places, in the miry places or in the marshes, guess what? That's not the pure word anymore. Why? Because it's mixed, it's polluted, it's not living water. You know what living water was to a Jew? It was moving water. See? So it's not moving water anymore. It's not water that's carrying you anywhere. It's not water that has life in it anymore. Instead, it is sitting in one spot, it's not moving, and it's stagnant. And he says that these living waters are going to do nothing for that particular part of the Dead Sea. You know what? There's a lot of churches just like that. They haven't changed their mind. They are still preaching a doctrine that comes from the Dark Ages. Actually, I was in a church recently, and that's where their they were bragging to me that where their doctrine came from. And I thought to myself, well, for goodness sake, if God told Daniel to seal up the words until the end, and he's starting to reveal things here that have been in the book all along, these people will never see them, because the only people they're listening to is those people back there that gave them their doctrine from the Dark Ages. And they're not coming into the full gospel. They're not coming into the light of deliverance from the curse. They're not growing in God. They're still camped out around this one little old doctrine, round and round and round and round. You know, I've been through three denominations. Actually, by the grace of God, I didn't join a one of them. And that was the grace of God. But I noticed in every one of them that they've got two, three doctrines, and they sit right there, and they go around and around and around and around. Nothing new can come in there, because if anybody comes in to bring some other part of the Word of God that they haven't touched, that's a heretic, and they'll throw him out, or they'll disregard him, okay? And you go to the next group, it's the same thing. Different verses, different doctrine, but they're going around and around and around and around. They're not going on. If you want to go on, you got to get out of there to go on. The next one, same way. Yeah. Stagnant water. It doesn't bring life. It doesn't bring deliverance. It's not the water that started at the beginning. It says here, this was given up to salt. Salt was in the Dead Sea before the fresh water came. In other words, they're polluting it with their own thinking, their own ways, their own trash. You know, you've been in a marsh? It's all kind of other plants coming up there. They can't live out in the stream. They live there because it's stagnant, you know? And it was given up to salt. The Dead Sea is full of salt, but this fresh water is not the salt, you see? You know, these people have said all that passed away with the apostles. We don't get any of that anymore. That water doesn't come this way anymore. Well, it's true for them, because that's what they believe. It did pass away for them, because Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. And that's what they believe, so that's what they get. It has passed away for them. But it hasn't passed away for me, because I read the book, and I know what it says, and I don't believe it passed away. I believe the same water that came out of the throne of God is mine. And you know who we are? We're like these trees that are planted by the waters, aren't we? Did you ever read that in Jeremiah chapter 17?
They grow.
And not only that, the Bible talks about, I believe it's in, let me find it, Proverbs 15 and verse 4. And I was quoting you a while ago, Proverbs 18 and verse 4, which says, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, the wellspring of wisdom is as a flowing brook. See, Jesus' words, he is the word, by the way, his words are like a flowing brook, a wellspring of wisdom. They're deep waters. They're not shallow waters. They're deep waters. That's what he says there. In chapter 15, in verse 4, in the Hebrew, I have a Hebrew note here that says, the healing of the tongue is a tree of life, but a perverseness therein is a breaking of the spirit. In other words, the tree of life is your tongue. Our tongue has got to get its life-sustaining nourishment from the Word of God. You remember the story? I'll just kind of remind you of Revelation 22, that the river of the water of life flowed out of the throne of God past the tree of life. That's the tongue. Where's the throne of God? Right here. He's not sitting in any temple but this temple, right? Right here in your heart. Past the tree of life, which is your tongue. And this tree of life brought forth 12 manner of fruits every month. It brought forth fruit. Awesome. That's, what, 12 months? That represents a year, doesn't it? Well, what does a year represent? Anybody got a good idea?
The cycle of life.
The cycle of life. What is it? Death, burial, and resurrection, right? Fall is death. Winter is burial. Spring is resurrection. Summer is life. And then cycle again, okay? But one cycle, just one cycle, in one cycle, this tongue is continually bringing forth fruit every month, a new fruit, every month, Revelation 22, you see? You're not staying out in one little circle talking about the same little old thing. You're constantly growing. And you know what he's saying there is, your tongue is supposed to be the tree of life. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believed on him were to receive. The only way this can happen is for you to believe on him as the Scripture hath said. If you believe any other way, then the river is not going to be a river of life. Okay? And it's not going to be constantly bearing fruit. And what were the leaves of this tree for? The healing of the nations. Righteous shall flourish as a green leaf. Now you know what green leaf is? Green leaf identifies chlorophyll. It identifies photosynthesis taking place. And photosynthesis is when that leaf is taken in the sun Are you taking in the sun?
Okay.
And when it's taken in the sun, it's creating sugar. And it's converting carbon dioxide, which is death, into oxygen and water. Every leaf, he says that we're like a leaf. A righteous shall flourish as a green leaf. Every leaf does these things. It takes in the sunlight, and it puts out underneath the leaf oxygen. Instead of carbon dioxide, it puts out oxygen. What's carbon dioxide? If you breathe that, you're dead, right?
Okay. Carbon monoxide.
What's breath? The word breath in the scripture is the same word for spirit. Breath. Well, here's carbon dioxide, which is a bad breath, a foul spirit. Okay? And what is it putting out? Oxygen. A clean spirit. Life, right? The earth could not exist without leaves. Okay? So it's coming out of the bottom of this leaf. It's coming out of what we call the stomata. The stomata are these little holes in the bottom of the leaf. You know what stomata means? Little mouths. Little mouths. Isn't that interesting? What's coming out of the mouths is oxygen, which is breath, which is spirit, and water. Oxygen and water come out of these little mouths for the earth, you see. Takes in the sun, puts out oxygen and water. And the righteous flourish like a green leaf. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You think that's somewhere in the sweet by and by, right? No. We are supposed to be the river of living water. The words of God coming out of our mouth, flowing past this tree of life for the nations around us. That's what's supposed to happen. It can only be the word that started at the beginning. Let me read the rest of this. Ezekiel 47, we read verse 11. The miry places, the marshes, the stagnant places. God's kingdom's got a lot of stagnant places around it, you see. I shouldn't call that God's kingdom because it's not. I'm wrong. But people think it is, and they speak as though it is, you see. It's really man's work, not God's work. Because God's kingdom is not going to fail. It doesn't fail. Verse 12, Ezekiel 47 and 12. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side shall grow every tree for food, whose leaf shall not wither, neither shall the fruit thereof fail. It shall bring forth new fruit, or first fruits actually, every month, because the waters thereof issue out of the sanctuary. Awesome. Isn't that something? Because the waters thereof issue out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for food, and the leaf thereof for healing. Awesome. King James says medicine. That's a bad word because it's just healing. That's the word, healing. Because the Bible don't teach medicine. Men teach medicine, but God's got a better method. Okay? Even in the New Testament, by the way, that word is not medicine. It's healing. Healers. Okay? It's kind of interesting. Who was it somebody a minute ago mentioned? Jeremiah 17. Look at Jeremiah 17. You know, you quoted it, and I said Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17 in verse 5. Folks, there are people that are not going to get out of those stagnant waters. They're going to stay there. You know, he said what the Lord says in Revelation 18? Come out of her, my people. Have no fellowship with her sins, so that you don't receive of her judgments. Right? In other words, God's not going to have lukewarm people. You know what he's going to do with the lukewarm? He's going to spew them out. He's talking about spewing them out of the body of Christ. That's what he's talking about. He's not going to have lukewarm people. He's not going to judge people on the fence. You wouldn't like to do that. I don't like to do that. You're either going to be hot or you're going to be cold before this is over. And God's not going to be having to worry about the lukewarm anymore. The people in the marshes, the people who are in the stagnant water, listen, those things are going to get worse and worse. These apostate denominational groups are going to get worse and worse until it's going to be quite God, because God's going to send a drought on them. And they're going to get worse and worse until you're going to realize you've got to follow the Word of God The Word of God is where it's at. The Word that proceeded from the throne of God at the beginning is the same Word that we've got today, and that's what we've got to get back to. And those things are going to get so apostate that anybody with eyes to see is going to get out of them and going to follow the Lord. You say, well, if I'm a baby Christian and I don't see very much, and I come into the kingdom and I don't see anything wrong with these, well, that's not what I'm talking about. That's what happened to me too. But you know what? I started reading the Word. And you're either going to follow the Word or you're going to follow man, right? If you're going to follow the Word, you're going to constantly grow and bring forth fruit every month until the whole process is over, death, burial, and resurrection in your life. You're going to constantly grow in the Lord. Okay? Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose trust the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. The man who's planted by the waters is the man who trusts in the Lord. Verse 7. That spreadeth out its roots by the river. In other words, these trees, which he's likening to us, right? These trees are taking their nourishment from the river. We can't take nourishment from anything else, folks. We won't live. We've got to take nourishment from God's Word. That's the river. The river that came out of Jesus' mouth. Remember, the dragon's casting forth a river too. Revelation chapter 12. And he wants to kill the woman with the river that comes out of his mouth. It's a poisonous river. People think it's the Word of God. Let me tell you about a dream I had. And this was a couple of years ago.
In that dream that I had, Dave, the person that I was looking for was also a woman.
Uh-huh.
It was a woman. Whom I never met, never knew, but it was this woman that I was distraught about.
And Bob was trying to warn her about listening to the preacher and going into the shallow water. There was death there, see? Okay? Well, that's exactly what this dream I had 2 years ago said. I think it's a year and a half or 2 years ago. I saw a group of Christians running from a dragon. You know what the dragon is? Revelation 12 tells you it's the devil. But it's more than the devil. It's the devil manifested in a body called the dragon. A seven-head, ten-horned body. Now, the seven-head, ten-horned beast in Revelation 13 is very similar because he has the seven heads and ten horns. The ones that were in the body of that beast and worshipped him were everybody on earth whose name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Read it. They are members of his body. Okay? The dragon has taken on a body. And it is the body of those people. I mean, I'm talking about a corporate body. It is the corporate body of those people who do not know God. They can be sitting in church. But if they're following the devil and they're not following the Word, they're still being ruled by the dragon. Well, the dragon was chasing these Christians. And I noticed that first they went to a house, and the dragon found them, and so they ran out the back of this house, and the dragon chased them. The next time their abode was a little more menial, it was a cave, and the dragon found them, and they ran out the back of this cave. Then they ran to the water. And they got in the water, still trying to hide from the dragon. They got in the water. But they got in the water next to the bank. And they were kind of hugging the bank, but getting as low in the water as they could. As I watched them, I was watching this whole scenario. And they got this revelation that if they stayed by the bank, the dragon could step on them. They had to launch out into the deep water, and the dragon couldn't touch them. Deep water is talking about the Word of God. It's the same Word of God that came from the throne. It's the Word that's moving. It's the Word that's active. You know, the Word of God is living and it's active. And it's like a two-edged sword. Hebrews 4 and 12, I believe, says that, right? The real Word of God is living and it's active. And it's like a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of what? The marrow and the bone and the soul, right? You know what the Word of God does? It lets you know the joints. It pierces the joints, the separation of the joints. You know, a joint is something that relays life, doesn't it? Okay? If you separate what is soulish from what is spiritual, that's what the Word of God does. And the Word of God separates that which relays life from that which life really comes from, you see. So, the Word of God is living and it's active. Next to the bank, it's not living and active. It's the shallow, miry places, okay? They launched out into the deep and they had protection from the dragon. Folks, we're coming to that time right now. We need to know the Word of God. You know, the Apostle Paul, he was put in all kinds of situations. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he talked about all these places that he'd gotten himself into because of enemies of God's kingdom, and physical places like being shipwrecked and so on and so forth. And you know, he said that the Lord would deliver him from every evil work. He said, in his weakness, God's power was made perfect. Okay? But you don't know about God's power. You've got no way to relate God's power unless you know the Word of God. The Word of God with all these awesome promises is how God brings His power to you. And unless you're a believer in the way that Jesus Christ made believers at the beginning, then you're not going to have the same protection that the Apostle Paul had. You say, well, Apostle Paul went through all these torments and stripes and everything. Yeah, but the Lord delivered him from all of it. Yeah? What is it, Psalm 34? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Do you really believe that? The Lord delivereth him out of them all. You know what? You have to believe the Word of God to believe that. Not everybody believes that. Some very good Christians have passed away and gone to be with the Lord because they didn't believe that. I'm not saying they're not Christians. I'm just saying they didn't believe that. You know what? God's got awesome power and deliverance for us if we abide in Him. You know that nobody could take Jesus before His time? They tried. He was the Word of God. What happened to the Word of God? Well, they tried to take Him several times, and He just passed right through the midst of them. It wasn't His time. He said, nobody takes my life. He said, I lay it down. Meaning what? Meaning nobody could take Him until it was His time to go, and He made that decision. You know, the Apostle Paul said something really similar. He says, I don't know whether to go or whether to stay. He said, I guess I'll stay for your sakes. It's like he was making a decision. He could have gone if he wanted to, but he could stay too. You know what? I believe God's children have authority. If a king has sons, he calls them princes. They have authority in the kingdom. A lot of God's people think, we've got no authority. We're lower than all the rest of the world, they're thinking is, you know. Hey, we're sons of the king. He delegates authority. Jesus delegated authority way back when the deep waters came out of the throne at the very beginning of this thing. The deep waters came out of Jesus' mouth. And He delegated authority. And He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. You know, He passed that all the way down to us. The people say it passed away. It passed away for them. But don't you believe it. You believe what the Word of God says. Because the Bible calls it in Hebrews 13, the everlasting covenant. God never changed it from the beginning until this day. The people who changed it for themselves. Just let them change it for themselves. Let them stand in those marshes. Let them stay in the shallow water. But there's no protection from the dragon there. There's no protection from the devil there. There's no protection from his kingdom there. I was in a church here not long back, and there was a sister there that was totally deceived by this particular revival, as they called it. And I prayed for that sister. I said, Lord, open her eyes. Give her a dream. Give her a vision. Help her to understand that this thing is not what she thinks it is. And the reason I did that is because this sister had really good dreams and revelations from the Lord. And, you know, the Lord gave her a dream about her church, and she was sitting in her church, and she looked up at the ceiling, and the ceiling disappeared. And over the top of that ceiling, there was a great red dragon stretched out over the whole building. And she saw it as clear as a bell. It wasn't a dream, it was a revelation, it was a vision, you see. And then later she had another one, still sitting in her church. She saw the back doors open, and in came a Trojan horse being wheeled into the building. And the Lord spoke to her and said, yeah, and men brought that in here too. And what the Lord was telling her is, what she had received as something that was under the dominion of the Lord and under the dominion of his kingdom was actually under the dominion of the dragon. The dragon's plundering the church, and we ain't seen nothing yet. Because if we're willing to come out and follow Jesus through that wilderness and walk with him because we're in agreement with him, the Bible says the scepter of the wicked shall not rest on the lot of the righteous. The scepter of the wicked, that's their dominion, their authority, their power, shall not rest on the lot of the righteous. You know, we're all walking towards God's kingdom. We're entering more and more into his righteousness. And when we come short of the benefits of God, and they are tremendous, it's because we're disagreeing with his kingdom or we're not walking in righteousness. Okay? The Bible says, forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, healeth all thy diseases, and redeemeth thy life from destruction. That's his benefits. That's his benefits. He's delivered us from the whole curse. And we should continue to put the word of God in our heart, let it come out of our mouth, like Bob speaking to those ant piles and cursing them. And you know, if a person didn't have faith, they might speak to it, and then they'd watch for the man to go away. Bob went over and shoved his hand down in the ant pile. Only person that believed it would do that, right? Sticking your hands under an ant pile, picking the top off of it. You had to believe that what you said happened, right? That's what Jesus said. He said we'd say things, and we'd believe that they'd come to pass, and we would have them. Mark 11:23, right? We have authority. The Lord passed authority onto us. We're exercising authority over the devil. Everywhere we go, and everywhere our words go, it should bring life. And, you know, maybe some areas of our life we haven't exercised authority in. Maybe some areas of our children's life. Maybe some what we've got to do is get in the Word of God, bear the fruit that we're supposed to be bearing right now, and keep walking in the God's truth until we see the curse being pushed back. I mean, obviously, in the parable, he's talking about the curse. Those that trust in the Lord, they're going to be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river and shall not fear when heat cometh, but its leaf shall be green. There it is again, the green leaf. That's verse 8, Jeremiah 17 and 8. And shall not be careful in the year of drought. See a lot of people being careful? You see a lot of people being worried? You see a lot of people preparing themselves for the things that are coming carnally? You know what God says? If we trust in him, we're not even going to be careful. We're not going to have to worry about it. The people that are worried aren't people that trust in him. They're trusting in the arm of the flesh. They're preparing all these physical ways how they can escape from the judgments that are coming, either upon this land or upon the world. They're preparing for this government to fight with this government, some of them. You know? What foolishness. God didn't call us to do that. He called us to wrestle with the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that are running this government. He called us to wrestle with the principalities and rulers that are administering this curse all around us. That's what he called us to do. We're supposed to be like these trees planted by the rivers of living water. And these waters pass by us, they're coming right out of our mouth. He said they're not going to be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That's awesome, isn't it? Awesome power of God. Well, the dragon is stepping on people now, really. But we haven't seen anything yet. Did you have something?
Some of the things that I've seen on the news lately, there's a jellyfish plague that's come from Australia that was stingy that will kill you. I mean, it's here. It's in Mobile.
Really?
And there's one up in New York. Of course, the government doesn't like to scare people either and make people really panic. There's mosquitoes up in New York that have killed, I think, 12 people last year. And those mosquitoes, I can't remember exactly where they came from. But if you get bit by these mosquitoes, they will kill you.
Uh-huh.
And they're coming up with some kind of antidote, but just like I read a lot about medicine. I studied medicine, just like penicillin. And I mean, they're not able to, you know, the germs are getting bigger, mutating, and the drugs are not working.
Right.
They're not working now.
Right.
And just the jellyfish and the mosquitoes and, well, the more we get into science, you know, the more we understand. It's not in science.
Well, can we insulate ourselves with enough protection to protect us from all of the threats that are out there and that are coming? You can never do it. There's only one way you can do it, with the Word of God.
Cursed is the strong man who trusts and relies on frail man, making weak flesh his arm, and whose mind and heart turn aside from the Lord.
Right. Pat was reading verse 5. Cursed is the man, my book says, cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes the flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord.
So we're already cursed.
Yes.
If your trust is elsewhere.
You're cursed.
You're already done before you began.
That's right.
Couldn't say that.
And he says, if you're trusting in man, your heart departs from the Lord. That's the main thing. You know, how could the Lord make all these precious promises and us ignore them and go around them to man, proclaiming that now God's method is through man? That's totally ridiculous. Even the men that God used in 1 Corinthians 13, even the ministers that God used, they didn't proclaim that what they did was the salvation. They only proclaimed that it flowed through them from God. And the gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13 and 14, you know, God provided these gifts through different members of the body to be salvations in the body. You know, there are salvations. The Bible says saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. Saviors, plural. You know why? Because Jesus wants to live in me. He wants to live in you. He wants to live in every one of us. He has a body that's a corporate body. He wants to be Jesus in every one of us, and to be a Savior in every one of us, to be a deliverer, to be a healer, to be a provider. He wants to be everything that the original Jesus was in the original body. That Jesus wants to be that in our body. We won't necessarily all be strong in the same areas. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about. We'll be stronger in one area, and somebody else will be stronger in another area. But the body is to be equipped with the power of God to meet every need. But we're not talking about lost people. We're not even talking about the people of God who've gone back to a worldly way of doing things. You didn't see Jesus using technology to heal people. You didn't see Jesus using pharmakia to heal people, which is medicine, which is the word sorcery in the Bible. Pharmacy, medicine. He didn't use any of those methods, because those give glory to man. His methods were the spoken word of God, just what we've been talking about. The river of the water of life. You know, the words that came out of Jesus' mouth do the same things when they come out of your mouth. The same thing, the same authority. The authority is in the Word. It's not in the vessel. It's in the Word. When He speaks through us, it's the same authority. But He has to find a vessel in which there is agreement in order to walk with that vessel, you see. We've got to speak the Word of God in faith. When we speak it in faith, it won't come back void.
David?
Yeah?
We talked about this one time. The blind man, he took the dirt, the mud, put it in his eyes. What was the reason for using dirt?
The question was, Pat was saying, why did Jesus smear mud in a man's eye to heal his eye? Because we've pointed out here that Jesus never used methods. He didn't use the physical to destroy the curse. He used the spoken word. And I had someone ask me that years ago, and when they asked me that, the answer came to me exactly at that moment, that it wasn't the mud that healed the man's eyes. It was when he washed the mud out of his eyes that he got healed. And what does the mud represent? It represents the flesh. Because it's made from the earth, same thing the flesh is made from. See?
It's of the world.
And what we've got to do is get the world out of our eyes, the flesh
the trusting in the arm of the flesh out of our eyes in order to receive what the Lord has for us. You see, the man didn't get healed when he put the mud in his eye. He got healed when he got it out of his eye. And see, the Lord didn't need methods or the things of the world to bring to nothing the curse. He only needed the Word of God. And he spoke the Word of God. And if he hadn't used mud, he wouldn't have had to, did he? But he did use it as an example and a type to us. The Lord didn't always heal eyes that way. He just spoke to them sometimes, and they were healed, you know. God's ways are not our ways. Think about that. They're not our ways.
Anything that comes out of the world is of the world, so get it out, wash it out.
Right. Our methods have to be Jesus' methods. Our words have to be His words. Our emphasis has to be His emphasis. What a disciple is somebody who studies his master to find out how to do it, how to say it, how to walk it, and then does likewise. We study our Lord Jesus because He's the pattern. He's the pattern son that Isaiah talks about, you know. The Lord gave us a sign. The Lord Himself will give you a sign, the Bible says. You know, Jesus was a sign. He said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. The Lord Himself will give you a sign. Jesus was a sign. What could He have been a sign of? He was a sign of a body that was to follow His, that was a corporate body, inhabited by the same Spirit and the same words, doing the same works. That's what He was a sign of. Jesus lives. You know what He said? He that receiveth you, receiveth me. Uh-oh. I know, I've been thrown out of churches for speaking nothing but the Word of God. You know who they threw out? Jesus. Because I didn't do anything but speak the Word of God, and they threw me out. And if Jesus would have showed up there, they'd have thrown Him out too. Churches are famous for throwing Jesus out. Why? Because they're in their own little stagnant mud hole, and they don't want to get out there in the deep water. And their leaders stand in the door, and they won't enter in, and they don't want you to enter in either. And they're afraid if you go beyond their little stagnant mud hole, they're afraid. You see, they're fearful. Feel threatened. Yeah, they're afraid that you'll outgrow them. They're afraid that you're receiving something that they can't, that they will be embarrassed if you enter into.
It was the religions of the day of Jesus that actually rejected Him with the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Sanhedrin. And they didn't recognize Him. And as we look today into the churches, religions that are out there, we see more of the world that's in the religion, that they're having relations with the world more so than they're having relations with Christ. So that creates a situation that is spoken of in Scripture as being a harlot, when the relationship is between the world instead of being with Christ.
Right. They're receiving their seed from the world and not from the Lord. That's a harlot. The word seed is sperma. That's what makes a harlot. We're supposed to receive everything that we receive from the Word of God. We don't need a Sunday school book. We need the Word of God. We need to absorb and eat and devour His flesh, which is the Word of God. And He said we won't have any life unless we do that.
When Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, and all the, what was that a meaning of?
When Jesus rose from the dead?
No, when He rose Lazarus.
When He resurrected Lazarus from the dead. Well, I'm sure there's a lot more there than I know. But I can tell you that what those people needed to know was that resurrection life was in Jesus. You know what Mary came and said? I know if You'd been here, Lord, He wouldn't have died. But even now, I know that whatever You ask of the Father, He will give it to you.
But we all die.
And He said that He was the resurrection and the life. Jesus Himself was the resurrection. You know, Jesus living in us is the resurrection and the life. Resurrection power is in us, every one of us individually. You know, to the extent Jesus lives in us by the Word of God, because the Word of God is Jesus, to that extent, resurrection life lives in us. It's not an accepting Jesus as your Savior. That's just part of it. You know, that's just the beginning. That's just your toe in the door. That's just receiving a new spirit. Then you got to
you have to receive the Word of God into your soul so that you can have a new soul. You got to be born again in your soul through your obedience to the truth. That's what Peter said. So, we absorb the Word of God into our soul so we can think and act and talk like Jesus. You know, it's not that we are taking His place. It's that we're coming into agreement with Him so that He can flow through us. Remember the river that started back there? It's still flowing. And where is it going to flow? Right out of our mouths. Out of your innermost being. Where is that? The throne of God shall flow this river of the water of life to bring life to the nations, you see. That's us. That's us when we're in agreement with the Word of God, submitting to the Word of God, not walking in rebellion. That's us.
When we look at the other times when Jesus resurrected the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue, as you recall, when they came to Jesus, a report came that, why bother ye the master any further, because she's dead now. And if you notice in the scriptures, when Jesus heard that, He immediately silenced them, and what He said to the ruler of the synagogue was, fear not, only believe. And I think this is what He, you know, tells us, is to walk not by our sight, because that's a profound expression of what we see in the world, and then we turn and we need to see with our eyes spiritually. And that's how we have to believe. We have to believe this word, stand on it, and to come total agreement and alignment with our lives with the Word of God. And that's where resurrection power is.
Amen. Amen. We need to get in agreement with God's Word and let it be in our thinking. In other words, He says, eat it. Eat it. Devour it. Let it go into you. Let it become a part of you. Let it be a part of your life, so that the Lord can flow through us. Thank you, Lord.
David?
Yes?
I have a question. I think it's...
You have to speak real loud or they won't hear you.
I think it's...
Oh, it's not?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's the tape then.
Yeah. I was studying on the 9th of this month in Luke 17 and 22.
Uh-huh.
23 on through the end of the chapter. And I was sort of puzzled, but it sort of sounds like you're talking along some of the same lines where Jesus was saying, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say, see here, or see there, go not there after them, or follow them. There's a lightning that lighteneth out of the one part of under heaven, shineth unto the other part of the heavens, so also shall the Son of Man be in His day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, He's talking to the churches there too, not to the church or to His people.
Amen. But first He must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation.
But I mean, we're in this generation, in this era of 2,000 years.
Isn't Jesus the stone which the builders rejected? Did you think that was just talking about the Jews? No. Because everything that happened to the Jews happens to the Gentiles. The Bible says the things that have been are the things that shall be. Things that have been done are the things that shall be done. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. So we know that basically what happened under the Jews has happened under the Gentiles. The exact same falling away and changing of the covenant that happened under the Jews has happened under the Gentiles. And now we're coming to the end when the Lord Himself said He's going to pour out His Spirit in Joel chapter 2 in the latter rain, like He did in the former rain. He's going to pour it out in the latter rain and restore the years that the palmer worm, the canker worm, had taken from them, had devoured from them. That was a curse to these people who, their livelihood was a crop, you see. And that you can imagine these worms coming in here and devouring their crop, you know, devouring their fruit, you know. Hey, that's happened to the church, hasn't it? The Lord, in these days, is coming with a great restoration. He calls the latter rain, a great outpouring of His Spirit upon all flesh, in which He's going to restore to His people
everything that's been taken from them in the last 2,000 years. He's going to restore the gifts. He's going to restore the power of God. Jesus is going to walk this earth just like he did back then. He's just going to do it in a larger body, but he's going to do it. And with the power of God. I mean, we're coming to an awesome, awesome time. The Bible says on the morning of the third day that he is going to come to us like the latter rain. See, the Lord is coming. The Lord's going to come. He's going to be manifested in a body of believers. He's going to be manifested in a body of people who believe this word. That's why he's going to be manifested. His Holy Spirit is going to come upon these people and empower them. Some of you here have received the power of His Holy Spirit, the baptism of His Holy Spirit. He said, you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses. You know, if we're going to be witnesses of the Lord, if we're going to do what He did, say what He said, act how He acted, bring the power of God, it's going to be because we're filled with the Holy Spirit that empowers us to overcome this old flesh and to be who Jesus was. And because we agree with the Word of God. Because as you know, there are a lot of people who have been filled with His Spirit and they go on in religion and they do nothing. They have no power and they do nothing. They might speak in tongues, but they don't do anything. And the main reason is they don't agree with the Word of God. They don't get in the Word of God. They don't put it in their heart. They don't begin to act upon it. They don't begin to do things the way the Israelites did in the wilderness. When they get a problem, they run back to Egypt. See, you don't find out how the power of God is back in Egypt. You see, you trust in the arm of the flesh. What do they want to go back to?
The flesh pots.
You see? Well, yeah, they wanted to go back where they were nourished by the flesh. Well, what the Lord is bringing us to is an outpouring of the Spirit in the wilderness. Like when they passed through the Red Sea and they were baptized in the cloud. And they went into the wilderness, okay? This outpouring is going to work as long as you're in the wilderness. But when you run back to the strength of the arm of the flesh, it's not going to work. And there are a lot of God's people who have so-called received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they've done nothing with it. It was given to us to empower us that if we agree with the Word, Jesus could live through us. Jesus could do through us. Jesus could do miracles through us. Jesus could speak life through us. That's what we've got to get back to. But we've got to learn to live by the Word. The righteous, you know, the Bible says the righteous shall live from faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You understand? The Lord wants us to learn. You think that's silly that Bob would curse an ant pile? Well, he learned something. He got a testimony from that. You think that's insignificant? What do you learn by throwing poison on it? Am I making a law that we can't put poison? No, I'm not doing that. I'm just saying he's living by his faith. He's using his faith to live by. That's good. We can do that. We should be learning to do that in many different areas of our life. And that's the life of Christ. The righteous shall live from faith. Why do we pass up all these opportunities to learn about the power of God? The Lord said for us to try him. We should learn to walk by faith and not by sight. This is good. I mean, how many of areas of our life that we haven't tried the Word of the Lord on? We're going to have a testimony if we do. If we use the Word of the Lord and apply it to these different areas, we're going to have testimonies. We're going to have miracles. We're going to have power. Try God. Stand on the Word. Don't get up the next morning and if you didn't get an instantaneous answer, give up. Stand on the Word until you see the change. You can't stand on the Word and not see a change. It's not possible.
Well, it wasn't a quick, rapid, instant healing of the trauma that I was going through with sensations in my...
The tingling,
you know,
yeah.
You know, I was getting thoughts in my head like, gosh, I'm not going to be able to do hair. I can't even work.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to walk. I mean, these were all the thoughts that I had to keep casting down. You know, maybe I'm going to have to go out to the base, you know, and see a doctor and find out, you know. But the revelation during all this came to me about just, you know, you don't even have to be watching the TV. It can be turned on, and you don't even have to be paying attention to it. Because I'm doing hair or messing around in the shop, and the TV's on a lot of times for the customers who come in. And it just dawned on me. It just, one of those commercials caught me about, there's so many. They talk about, you know, that you... About just a birth control pill for the women, but there's like 7 side effects: diarrhea, to headaches.
Well, let me ask you this question: what would stop a believer from going to a doctor? What in the Word of God would stop a believer from going to a doctor? Am I talking against doctors? Am I saying believer don't go to a doctor? I'm not saying that. I'm saying, what is it that we know about the Word of God that would stop us from going to a doctor?
Without stripes we were healed.
Well, then.
Yeah. If we're a believer.
Be done to you according to your faith.
Faith. It's just be a faith. It's what you believe.
Well, where would that peace come from, though? Wouldn't the peace come from a revelation of what the Word of God says about your situation? Listen. By His stripes, you were healed. If you were healed, why don't you believe it?
Believing the Word of God.
See? If you were healed, why would you run around looking for healing if you were healed?
Because
you're not agreeing with the Word of God. The righteous shall live from faith. See, some people don't understand. This can be legalism, you understand? You could tell someone, now don't go to a doctor. That's legalism, okay? But my question is, what would make a believer in the promises of God not go to a doctor? Because the Bible says you were healed 2,000 years ago. And the Bible says that just as He forgives all of your iniquities, He heals all of your diseases. Now, if a believer believed that, why would they go back to Egypt? See, we're proving whether we're believers or not. That's the whole point.